Welcome to Airtime. It's Patrick Kelly with the official podcast, The Olympic Styles of USA Wrestling Kansas. The calendar has flipped to July. For some, that means hot dogs on the grill, relaxing poolside, and watching fireworks. For others, it means putting the polish on the final training phase before the grand finale that is Fargo. The cadet and junior nationals are slated for July 14th through the 22nd. With the training camp opening on July 10th, the anticipation is mounting. Will Coakley joins the program today. Will has served as a USAWKS director for the Olympic Styles for the past several years. He is charged with the behind-the-scenes efforts it takes to put together the various programs and opportunities that the organization provides. Will, welcome to the program. Maybe the first question should be, where in the world is Will Coakley? Your normal is hopping from airport to rental car to hotel to meeting, rinse and repeat. But the last several months has been really kept you hopping. Give us a sense of your recent travel log.
Sure, Pat. I do travel quite a bit for work. The past couple months, though, have been a little bit more stressful from the perspective that I've been off continent. I have spent 2 8-day stints in Brazil on a work project and wrapped that around a week in California. And then I got back and spent a couple days at the Southern Plains tournament and took off for Africa, and I spent 12 days in Africa on a personal vacation trip, and it was just quite an experience. I'm glad I went. Very educational and enlightening. And I got back from that and jumped in my car and drove to Tulsa for the Junior National Duels. So, but today you find me sitting on the couch, kind of taking a day to recover from all the travel.
Well, sounds like a well-deserved break for sure. So let's jump right into it. Your sons, Ryan, Reese, Sammy, have made the Coakley name familiar to the Kansas wrestling community during the past decade. We know about their success, and many know about their father's animated presence at events and colorful posts on the talk forum. Most, however, probably don't know much about your background in the sport. Tell us how you got started in wrestling and about your competitive and coaching career.
When I grew up in Liberal, Kansas, and they had a program called Kids Incorporated, which basically offered free sports to all kids 8 years and above. And I went to a wrestling event that my cousin participated in when I was 6 years old. And I just bugged my mom to sign me up for wrestling and every year until I was eight. And then I started in Kids Inc. And that later led to involvement in what was called the U.S. Wrestling Federation, which now is known as USA Wrestling in Kansas, and have pretty much stayed involved with it in some way, shape or form. Since I was eight years old, I wrestled at Liberal High School, went to Fort Hays and participated some there, quit my senior year, and stayed involved in coaching at Liberal High School when I was working there. And then I moved to Wisconsin and coached for 3 years with a high school, a local high school, that where my job took me. And then when I came back to Kansas, started Ryan when he was 4 years old and have been involved so the last 21 years straight with Kansas USA Wrestling, you know, under the leadership of Mike Juby, and just been a great run for my kids, and got to know a lot of families and other wrestlers, and we've traveled all over, but we've always taken the approach of if somebody else wants to go, we take them along with us. And I think it's built a lot of really solid friendships for my kids, and a lot of, you know, there's just a lot of trust in wrestling whenever you get involved in it as deeply as we have.
So you've been heavily involved in the administration of USA Wrestling Kansas. What capacities have you served?
I was a schoolboy duels team leader. I've been a assistant director at the kids and the kids districts. And then I became, I was a freestyle Greco director. I think this is my fifth or sixth season. So, and I've been to board meetings pretty consistently since, I'm going to say 15 years, close to 15 years now. I'm involved in a lot of the kids stuff. I would say the thing that was my passion is when my oldest son was in seventh grade, we found out about the USA Middle School Duels, and Eric Johnson, Chief Renegade, to all you fans out there. And I put together two teams and took them to Danville, Illinois, for middle school duels. And that was in 2006. And every year since 2006, Kansas has been represented at a national duel team in the folk style events. Now we have six teams, and we have four elementary teams. So we're taking 10 teams to the national duels. And I think, you know, that's really kind of my pride and joy and my legacy. And it also evolved into elementary school state and middle school state to help qualify kids for those spots. And I think it's really helped Kansas overall. It gave a lot of kids an exposure to out-of-state wrestling that wouldn't have gotten that exposure otherwise. And I'm very proud of that.
Yeah, I think it's just a great gateway into, you know, everything else that's offered with USA Wrestling Kansas. It, you know, for those that are not familiar with it, and there's probably not very many that aren't familiar with it, the popularity that it has. So, yeah, that definitely will be part of your legacy. Your current position as Olympic Styles Director, you are in tune with the state of the sport of wrestling in Kansas, as well as how we stack up against other states in the country. What is your assessment on how Kansas stacks up with those other states in regard to the Olympic styles of wrestling, and who are the model states in that upper echelon of the country?
Well, I suppose it'd be easiest just to start at the top. You know, for the 11 years I've been involved in national duels, Illinois has been the model state. They've probably taken home more golds in freestyle and Greco than any other state at all three age groups: schoolboy, cadets, and juniors. So I would say they're the state that everybody's chasing. You know, the other ones are Ohio and New Jersey and Minnesota. Those are all really probably the upper crust. And then recently, since I caught the John Smith wake up era down in Oklahoma, when his son started wrestling about seventh or eighth grade, I felt like we were on par with Oklahoma about that time. And then he started getting involved at the high school level, and they really turned it up, and they've kind of been in that top bunch here the last 4 or 5 years. How do we stack up? I would say if you divided it up into quarters, I would say we're at the top of the second quarter of teams. And, let's say that there's really 40 highly motivated states in wrestling. So we're like probably like 11, 12, I would think, where we would stack up in summer wrestling.
I don't think it's a bold proclamation to say that that success at the Cadet and Junior Nationals in Fargo is the ultimate goal of those in coaching and competing in the Olympic styles during high school. What programs, processes, and opportunities are in place to help Kansas put the best product on the mat in Fargo?
Yeah, Pat, that's a great question. There's been a program available, you know, for a long time when it comes to junior nationals. When the dual team event started to evolve in the 2000s, Kansas got involved in that, has always participated. But primarily, until about 5 years ago, it was really very club-centric. So if you had a good club for the spring and the summer, then you were going to do well. And there, you know, typically there's been a club in the Junction City, Manhattan area, a strong club in the Wichita area, a couple in the Kansas City area, not really much out in western Kansas. But in the past, you know, we'll just go say in the past 8 years, Dave Nordhue's out in Colby has done a lot with Greco and help with freestyle in Northwest Kansas. There have been some with Dodge City holding the Southern Plains Regional. There's been a little more focus on freestyle and Greco in the Southwest Kansas area. But I'd like to point to the regional training centers that we've started here in the last half dozen years. We encouraged programs to create a mat time and coaching for all clubs in that area to kind of hopefully bring the toughest kids in the area to practice with each other and elevate the capabilities and skills. And we, at the same time, we created a standard curriculum to hand out to all these regional training centers. And then to provide even more incentive, we priced the Fargo trip at $850 and then offered incentives to go to these training center practices that would lower the cost from $850 all the way down to $550 if depending on what all events and practices you participated in. So I think we've really broadened the offering, but there's still a an education process going on out there, Pat. I still see, 20 highly motivated coaches year round, and we have 225 in the state. We need to get more of those coaches to buy into the regional training center and figure out that freestyle and Greco is not like calculus or something. It's not super complicated compared to folk style, and we need to really get these other kids on the mat and just to try it. They can go to Southern Plains and try it. They can go to the dual events. We send two teams to every dual event. We have 100 kids, and we could have 200 kids at Southern Plains. There's a lot of opportunities, but I think the education process is continues.
We are now about only 2 weeks out from Fargo. Tell us a little bit about who our team is made up of, total numbers, and some of the returning stars, and what kind of results should we expect out of them?
Another good question, Pat. You know, I had some really high expectations. 2 years ago, we finished second in the country behind Illinois and Greco at Fargo. And I thought that that we were going to be really in a good position to maybe challenge to even win that this year. But at the top level, we've our lineup's been a little bit decimated as our seniors have committed to, well, I think we had the most ever Division I commits this year from the senior class. And most of those programs would like to have those wrestlers on campus this summer, attending a class or classes and participating in workouts. And so we've lost a great number of the kids I thought could really put us in a position to win. But, nevertheless, we still have a lot of kids showing up. And some of those names are the Brain Twins from Goddard High School. Kane Hutchison from Pittsburgh is going to a service academy. Logan Treister from Newton, Kansas is also, he's going to be at the Naval Academy. These guys have commitments and they're unable to participate at Fargo. Clay Lau and Sammy Coakley, my son from St. James, are both on campus right now and going to be most likely unavailable to go to Fargo. So some of the other kids, though, Mason Wallace, who the University of Tennessee Chattanooga commit, is going to be able to participate. Would expect to see him on the podium this year. Tate Carney from the Colby area, returning All-American. Jace Kelzer, multiple Fargo All-American and at the cadet level, is going to be a junior this year, and we hope to see him do well. And I guess if you just look at some of the dual team results, Jalen Harper was undefeated in Greco out of Manhattan High School. Without a list right here in front of me, I would say that we're going to probably we'll have double-digit All-Americans this year, cadet and juniors combined. But it'd be a pleasant surprise if we broke into the top three or top even the top five in either style. But 60 kids is what I'm expecting to participate, and we'll have a staff of 10 coaches, and our preparatory camps at Bay. University this year would be the first time it's there.
With each of my podcast guests, I like to include a final open-ended, do you have anything to add type of question. With you, I might regret asking that due to the controversy you may stir up, but I always appreciate your insight and perspective. Let me ask it this way. What 2 to 3 processes, rules, or restrictions would you like to see changed or added to advanced wrestling in the state of Kansas?
Well, we all have high hopes right now since the leader of the Kansas State High School Athletic Association is stepping down. I think, what is that, about 11 months out now? I don't have my countdown calendar in front of me. But regardless, what I would like to see is the travel restriction for high tournaments maybe made. I don't believe it would probably be constructive to completely abolish it, but maybe allow Kansas teams one trip on the 500 road mile limit. And, most of the big time tournaments, as as being a high school coach and growing up in Iowa, are not within that 500 road mile limit. So I would like to see us to be able to participate in Ironman or go to, Powerade or some of the bigger time tournaments, Reno, I think that would help. That's just kind of, something that would be nice. Would that really elevate? Maybe not, but it would get exposure. What would really elevate us, I believe, is allowing coach contact. Again, probably not year-round, wouldn't be acceptable, but if we could have coach contact in March, April, and May, where we're not allowed to have it now, I think it would increase our freestyle and Greco participation. I think it would elevate our success compared to other states. I think it gives those kids an opportunity that they don't have now to have a mentor who they're close with for the previous 3 months in the room and involved with them and know their strengths and their weaknesses. And I just think that we would improve overnight if we had that lifted. Third thing, I don't know. There's probably a whole list of things, but I think we have too many state tournaments. I think that the expectation is, instead of how good can we be, it's how good do we have to be to place at state. And when there are four state tournaments, it just is completely watered down when you look at the fact that we have 2.5 million people in our whole state, 225 schools that offer wrestling. Two tournaments would probably be enough, maybe three at the most, but definitely not four. How's that? That not too controversial?
That's not too controversial, and I think that, it does beg kind of another question, though. As you look at the class of 2017 and then some of those that we've got coming along, we, without having a high-profile Division I program, for example, in the state, we really do have some athletes that can compete. What do you think we've got right in the state of Kansas? What are we doing that's producing the high-level kids that we are?
So the coaching involvement is really important, but the foundation for the coaching involvement in Kansas is the strength of USA Wrestling in Kansas. We have 10,000 card-carrying members every year who are involved and want to make wrestling better in Kansas. So it's the highly motivated coaches, but it's also the parents who have decided that wrestling is important to them and belong to USA Wrestling. And then we have a strong leader in Mike Juby that's been able to financially subsidize these programs. And we talked about Fargo a while ago, and I mentioned 850 to 550. Pat, can you take your wrestler, drop him off at 6 o'clock on the 10th of July, pay $550, and pick him up on July 23rd, 14 days later, and not have to worry about anything? He got coached. He had really great lodging, unbelievable food, as you can attest to, and got to wrestle in the world's greatest high school wrestling tournament for $550. I think that the USA Wrestling financial strength in Kansas is really, I think we got to take our hats off to them for making Kansas wrestling as good as it is.
All right. Well, thank you for covering out some time from your busy schedule, and good luck in the final preparations for Fargo. And on behalf of the Kansas wrestling enthusiasts, we wish the competitors and coaches the best.
Thank you, Pat. Appreciate it.
This has been Patrick Kelly with Airtime, the official podcast of the Olympic Styles of USA Wrestling Kansas. Until next time, thanks for listening.